This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. You know those words and phrases that are so risque, racy, naughty, too hot to handle, too embarrassing sometimes to mention? Well, today we're going to go there and hear it all. And I'm joined by the very beautiful ladies of a very steamy podcast called Unmentionables, starring The Social's Cynthia Loist and Chum's Josie Dye. Of course, you'll all remember Cynthia, who was a guest on our show before for a fabulous episode talking about her long-time ongoing co-hosting gig on CTV's The Social. But she also started something new with an amazing person she met during the pandemic. And we're going to talk all about that today and more. Before we meet Cynthia and Josie, let me tell you a little bit more about them. As just mentioned, Cynthia Loist, longtime host on the popular Canadian daytime TV talk show, The Social. Some of the people she's interviewed: Ryan Reynolds, Emma Thompson, Hugh Jackman, Lena Dunham, Kate Bornstein, Sapphire, Vivica A. Fox, Jenna Lyons, and Rod Stewart, just to name a few. Some of the intriguing people she's had the pleasure of interviewing. Speaking of pleasure, she's also the founder of Find Your Pleasure, an online resource that aims to assist people in finding joy in their lives. Loist's passion for entertainment began at a young age, and she went to York University's film school and also attended York University's Women Gender Studies department. And during that time, she wrote Pandora's Box, a sex column for the independent journal Roscoe. And so many other great things we're going to talk about during the show, but she's made several appearances on television and radio over the years. She talks about everything: relationships, dating, mating, sex, bonding, all of it. As one of Canada's most well-known radio and TV hosts, Josie Dye has had countless conversations with the stars of the music world. Her interviews with A-listers are people like Chris Martin and Mumford and Sons to Oprah. Can't wait to ask you about that. And that gives Josie the ability to speak the language of celebrities, but she never wavers from her straightforward, fun-loving style that has endeared her to millions and made her a staple of the Canadian broadcasting world. For 7 years, Josie hosted The Josie Dye Show on Indie 88 in Toronto, and now she can be heard as host on Chum 104.5 on weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 p.m. Previously on 102.1 The Edge, Josie hosted The Morning Show, The Afternoon Drive, and had a syndicated top 20 music show that was heard all across Canada and was co-hosted by a new musical artist every week. As a television host, she brought her energetic and down-to-earth humor into Canadian homes. And after co-hosting the lifestyle magazine show Oh So Cosmo for 8 seasons, she then became the face of Canada's W Network, interviewing stars on Junkets. Love those Junkets. I'd love to talk about that. Performing interviews and hosting the channel's quirky interstitials. She thrives on being busy. We're going to hear all about the wonderful things that both of these incredible women are doing. Cynthia Loist and Josie Dye, so excited to have you here. Welcome back, Cynthia, and welcome, Josie, to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you.
That was really exciting.
I know.
I was like, I'm learning about you.
Me too. I was like, oh, wow, bonding. Let's talk about that, Cynthia.
And I don't know if I mentioned the Find Your Pleasure book, which is so fabulous, that Cynthia wrote, and we talked about it. So if you want to actually check that out, definitely get the book. But of course, check out that podcast at findyourbliss.com/radio. But anyway, we're going to definitely talk about your podcast, Unmentionables, in just a moment. But I wanted to briefly talk about some career and life changes that you have both been going through. And I want to start with you, Cynthia. As you know, you are one of my all-time favorite hosts on The Social, and I've had many of the co-hosts on the show, and you experienced something that a lot of people can relate to. I kind of feel like I'm experiencing it right now. You started to feel burnt out. So you decided to take a break from The Social, stay off social media. I don't know how you did that. That's hard. And take some time to recover. And I'm wondering if you can just take us back to what you were feeling and going through at that time on the set and at work and at home. What was the tipping point to realize you had to exhibit some self-care and take some time off to recalibrate, refresh, renew, and just feel good again?
Yeah. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having us on.
back in the fall of last year, there was a storm brewing inside of me. And when I look back now, I can see all these little signposts along the way. But at the time, it kind of hit me like an avalanche. And what did that look like? I kept showing up to work and I couldn't stop crying, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was a combination of things. You know, some of it was actually reading the news at that point in time and how often crass the way in which news was coming up in my time feed. It was about, you know, obviously the horrors of the war going on in the Middle East. And then next thing I know, I'm looking at like images of cats videos. And it just was this horrifying juxtaposition that I found deeply, deeply unsettling and problematic, as I'm sure everyone still feels to this day. Yes. But it was also a number of other things. I think I didn't realize how my tank was on empty for so long. You know, I'm a mom, we're both moms, and we're running between point A and point B. We have really, really busy, intense jobs. And in particular, doing a live daily show, somebody who has a disposition that kind of leans introvert, I don't think I realized, because I was just sort of doing for so long, how it impacts my nervous system. And so while I'd heard the word burnout been thrown around over the years, I actually didn't realize it was a real thing. I thought it was a euphemism that Hollywood stars used because they actually had a drug problem or some other kind of thing. But it was when my doctor actually said, because I was like, I remember calling her. I was on the side of the street after I'd, you know, had like the third day showing up to work, feeling like I couldn't string a sentence together. I couldn't hold my emotions in. I was volatile. I was emotional. I was a wreck. And I said to her, is this like hormones? Like, what is going on with me? And she said, no, this is burnout. And she's known me for years, so she could tell what was going on with me. So all that to say, I was very lucky and grateful that I had a supportive work environment, a boss who saw what I was going through and suggested I take some time off. And I did. And I took that time off very seriously because burnout is an interesting thing that it intersects with depression and anxiety. And it is not one of those things, but it can be comorbid with all of those things. Of course. And so my recovery has been a journey, to say the least.
Yeah. What would you say has helped you the most? Because now it's like, it feels like you're busier than ever, that you're back on CTV's social, you're doing the Unmentionables, you're doing so many things. I'm sure there's other cool secrets up your sleeve that maybe you'll share with us. All of this is happening. So something is different. What new coping strategies and tips and techniques are you using now in this new configuration?
I mean, again, and I was lucky enough to have time to rest, cry, to just like sleep, to be off social media. So a few top line things, I'll give you three right now that I'm doing differently. One is my morning rituals. Like I have to start my day every day in the same way. I immediately, before looking at my phone, I journal stream of consciousness for 3 pages. Nice. And the reason why I do that is it's a kind of download that I feel like your rawest, most truthful thoughts come out in the morning. Yes. And what's interesting is when you take some time and you do this for a while, when you start to look back, all of your issues come right to the surface. Yes. You know intuitively what you're struggling with and what you need to do. It's just that during the course of a day, we can start to forget about that or ignore it. So journaling, absolutely, then I meditate, and then I do a bit of movement. All of that has to happen before I touch my phone. So second thing I do is I am very intentional about when I go on social media now. I'm trying to avoid it. It was not good for me. And if people are listening and that resonates with you, I suggest you look at it. Yeah. And I try to go on with an intention and output only, mostly, or supporting friends. Yeah.
I should stop sending you reels.
No, I love it. I love it. I do love that. I mean, and then I think the last thing is just recognizing that in order for me to do the show that I do, I have to protect my nervous system. And there's a kind of like fight or flight syndrome that I go into with a live daily show, and it kills a lot of my energy. So I have to complete that. So I've gotten into like hot saunas and cold plunges, or I'll go for a walk in nature afterwards. I cannot take that for granted, building in breaks in my day in order to keep my sanity.
That's so great. These sound like such wonderful things. And the journaling is so powerful and helpful. Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way, it really works. They do say 21 days to form a habit. So, you know, it's interesting. I think that's almost the magic number, whoever they is, are, you know, but it's a great one. And so that's so great. And so are you finding that it is just better for you being back with all of these tools And when you find yourself, oh, I'm getting really exhausted, I got to chill out and I got to just take some time again.
Yes. I feel like you've seen a difference in me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that I feel like you've got a handle on life. It doesn't mean that we don't have days where you're just exhausted and things are going on and you're running around in every different direction, but it seems like you've got some sort of technique to be able to handle it.
Yeah. It's like tools in my toolkit now that I can see. And I never want to go back to that place. So I'm very protective of my energy. Yeah.
I so understand it. It reminds me when you say, I never want to go back to that place. I remember an old boyfriend, a very bad breakup, and literally lying on my bathroom floor on the cool tiles to cool my head and saying, I never want to go here again. Like, I'll be in love, but I'm never going down to those bathroom tiles. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's like, I feel like we've all been there.
Is on that the bathroom not? Tiles.
Yes, we've
totally.
All been there. Yes.
No tiles for me. Yeah. So, Josie, again, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here. Congrats on everything you're doing.
Thank you. I love the
podcast that you're both doing. I love the energy between both of you, and I can't wait to dive into it. But I first, again, also want to talk about the major life change you just made, leaving a 7-year stint at Indie 88, where you hosted the Josie Dye Show, to start hosting the Afternoon Drive on Chum. Congrats on that.
Thank you. I know you
said Indie 88 was like your home. They gave you complete creative control and that you've grown so much during your time there. And I know the goodbyes are hard, but sometimes necessary to grow and change. What prompted you to leave after all those years? And what has it been like? What is your take home from reinventing yourself in this whole new configuration at Chum?
Well, I mean, I was just reading yesterday that every 7 years, our body is, it takes, like, our mind changes, our cells change. So we should have some big lifestyle change in something in your life. And I did that. I had a huge work change. I mean, it's a huge challenge for me coming from the rock world, going to the pop world is a huge challenge. Where I am now, there's just so much opportunity. There's just, you know, there's television, there's radio. I feel like this is the place I want to grow. And Indie was incredible. And it was so good to be able to walk away from something that I think I really did well. And especially in our industry, we know radio, you know, you usually are fired. You don't walk away. So walking away felt good. I felt like I did everything I could do for them. Yes. And then I'm able to move on. So I'm really excited. And now I get to work in the same building with Cynthia.
You're down the hall from each other.
We're across the bridge from each other. So we go and we, you know, she'll bring me a coffee.
Sometimes I'll bring her a coffee or you'll come over and I'll be like, oh, Cynthia's here. Hi.
She's been on the social twice as well. So it's been really nice.
It's really nice.
That's so nice. I know when you're on, I was going to ask you that, but I want to ask you, how did you guys connect? I know it was during the pandemic that you really super connected. And what happened during that connection that created this wonderful brainchild of your show, The Unmentionables?
I mean, I knew who you were. I was a big fan, listened to her on CFNY first for years.
Yeah. And obviously I knew who Cynthia was, and I was on the social a couple of times and she was on there with me and she was like amazing to me. You know, when you're really nervous and you're on like a huge television show like The Social, and then all of a sudden you have someone like Cynthia who sits down and has a full conversation with you before the show starts. First of all, that takes a lot of energy for Cynthia to do. I've seen her do it now with other guests that come on the show. That takes a lot out of, and for someone to do that, I was like, I like that girl. That girl's cool. I like her.
She's a special one. I agree.
Authentic, right? There's something authentic about her.
Yes.
So then randomly years later, COVID happened. My son, immune compromised, wasn't sure how COVID would work with him. And after the real lockdown, I knew schools were about to open up. And after talking to my doctor for a long time, my doctor was like, how are we going to do this with your son, Cole? Because he has
a rare disease.
Yeah, it's called Sotos syndrome. But also he's a real recluse. He doesn't actually love to be with other kids. He's great on his own, but he needs to be with other kids. So we wanted to find a way where like 4 or 5 kids could be in my basement. We could hire a teacher and he could, you know, still have friends, but at the same time, be safe.
I mean, you have to remember this is the time where it was a very scary phase of the pandemic for everyone, not the least of which for a mom of a child who was more vulnerable. And it just so happened, this is when, the schools were starting to be online. And I was very worried as a mom of an only child of putting my kid in front of a screen all day. He was showing odd signs of like anxiety popping up that had never been there before. So I was becoming concerned. And then, you know, as fate would have it, like a friend of a friend of a friend was like, I think Josie Dye has, you know, is looking for one more child. And she wanted it to be a boy. Yeah. I was like, I have that. So basically,
because we had two girls and then he had a brother. Yeah. Right. So I wanted a boy that was not his brother.
That was not his brother. So, of course. Yeah. Another friend.
Yeah, exactly.
So long story short, we ended up like during that time, obviously we only really saw each other and the couple of families. And so we started talking, we started bonding, we started laughing a lot. And we initially were like, let's just record some videos and like maybe we're going to make some kind of a show, which we did. We have a YouTube series of some stuff that we recorded. And then we were like, maybe we should make this into a podcast.
Yeah. It's like the last thing you want to do, right? Let's do a podcast. This won't be hard. It'll be so easy.
And then we we've been baking this for a long time. Yeah. So it was in the works. And it officially is called Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables.
Yeah.
And we talk about everything from sexual fantasies to cheating to embarrassing bodily functions to my burnout story to what it's like to be a parent with a child with a disability. It's everything and then some about the things that people feel sort of too often ashamed or shy or reticent to talk about, but they're talking about with their closest, dearest friends.
Yeah,
so what our hope is that, and what we hear from people who are fans of our show are like, we feel like we're hanging out with our greatest girlfriends and that we get a window into a part of ourselves that we are kind of liberating them from feeling shame around these things.
Yeah, and we're super vulnerable. And sometimes some of the topics, we don't even know that we're going to go to certain areas. And we do. And I think that it's also helped us a little bit having this podcast.
Therapy.
So it's great.
it's like a catharsis. But do you ever feel shy about saying anything? Do you ever go like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this?
The very first episode. Oh my gosh, the first episode. I won't give you too many details because I know, you know, we're on radio. The very first episode, we had already actually created probably about 5 or 6 episodes. We were 3 days away from launching. And then randomly we said, let's just record this one story about this really embarrassing thing that happened to you, Josie.
Well, it started off, it was an embarrassing thing that I was going to share about myself. And then you wanted to talk around. We shared this bodily function that many people were teasing this out.
Hemorrhoids. I'm just going to say
hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. We're saying it. Why not? Right?
And so she didn't want to talk about it, but it's a beautiful episode and hilarious. And literally within a day or two after launching, we were walking around in the beaches and we saw this woman come out with a baby carriage and a hot husband. And she's like, yells down to us and goes, guys, I love your podcast. And I'm going through the same thing. I can relate.
Excuse me. That's amazing. Fabulous. How are people getting in touch with you? Are they DMing you or are they emailing you or are they threading you? Like, how are you hearing
all of it? People have been really, really amazing. We've had an incredible outpouring from many different venues, and especially during, like, I think that the vulnerable ones, like when I shared my burnout story, we just got an incredible outpouring of people who shared experiences and were really, really touched by that. But people have also been laughing along with us. And I think one of the keys to our success has been the fact that people can really find, we have a lot of joy together.
We do.
And there's a lot of laughter.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what really ties the whole thing in. It's like, you know, everyone talks about, unmentionables and, you're going to talk about sex and you're going to talk, but really people stay, I think, because of our friendship. Like, I think there's something beautiful about that friendship, and it's nice to, like, it's pure. And even if we fight, we talk about it on the podcast. You know what I mean? So I think it's genuine. And I think, like, the world needs more of that.
Absolutely. It's, you know what? It's just feel good. It's feel good, but it's feel good with a purpose that's actually helping people to talk about those things. So you just did one on what turns you on. I was listening to that in the middle of the night last night. My husband was like, what are you doing?
Did you want to share anything today? Did you relate? Did you ask your husband about any weird turn-ons that he has?
I didn't because he was half asleep at the time. But yes, I'm going to. I was planning on doing that tonight, actually. So after our dinner. So what were some of the surprises? Did you find anything surprising from that episode that you learned about turn-ons and what they are and what they're not?
I think I mean, so we brought both of our husbands on that episode, which is probably, well, it's the second time my husband has joined a podcast, probably the first time Jason has joined a podcast. I got out of that I need to be nicer to my husband.
Because that was his strange turn on.
His strange turn on was people who were nice to him at in stores, like women that were just like, oh, thank you so much. So I took away from that, I should be a kinder human being to my husband.
Yes.
But I think the best one was Cynthia's husband, Jason.
Yeah, he's a very dry, witty person. And when I asked him, you know, do you have any things that, so the idea of this podcast was like things that shouldn't turn you on that surprisingly turn you on. And he was like, yeah, women's, when they have large nostrils. And I was just like, he had it so at the ready that was surprising. I was like, okay, I didn't want to really ask too many more questions about that. But I think the whole point of it is, again, like these little quirky, strange things that when you start to hear about them, and maybe there were ones that people we mentioned from this article that we had found, you know, that were about like listening to someone gardening or, you know, certain types of masks that people wear. Some of them were very odd and you'd be like, I don't get that. But what it does make you do is reflect upon yourself of like, have I ever had an experience of being turned on where I maybe shouldn't, like at the gym?
I love the trainer.
All those types of things, which I think is good, and it inspires conversations. Like I think you might find that you're going to have an interesting conversation tonight as a result.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. The massage thing is such a big one, right? Like with a guy, like, okay, I'm going to share something I can't believe I'm sharing.
Judy, we're
like, I'm clean, super. But we were on our honeymoon. This was many, like 28 years ago. And in fact, like almost exactly 28 years ago. And we were in Greece. We were in Santorini. It was so romantic and so great. He said, I want to get you a massage. And oh, don't worry, I'll be around, but just enjoy. And, you know, massages in North America are the back, right? I don't know if I should say this, but this massage, I think he wanted to include other areas like a chest massage too. And I was like, whoa. My husband sort of was like, wait a minute. This is our honeymoon. What is it? Thank God he was there. But it was like the guy just was like, so like, he just didn't even think about it. It was like, no, a massage is a massage. You don't just massage the back. And it was like, no.
Wait, where were you? Like, and let's go there.
Yeah, let's go.
Can we go?
This is Greece.
That should be our next vacation.
Yeah. I've heard that before though, Judy. I had a friend who went somewhere, I think it was actually in maybe Germany too. And she was just like, the way that we massage here is so, you know, there's a rightfully and good for it that like, they're just very conscious of like consent and stuff like that. Yes. Whereas there, they're just like, they don't care, like roughing you up.
I'm going to Greece.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that's amazing.
This is so much fun. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, Josie's going to describe what it was like interviewing Oprah Winfrey. Back in a moment. This segment is brought to you by silveringbeauty.com. If you've ditched the dye and love the feeling and freedom of letting your silver hair grow free, you'll love exploring a new approach from beauty entrepreneur Alexis Asianis. Her Silvering Beauty products are designed to boost the beauty of all shades of naturally graying hair. My silver-haired friends are very excited about the amazing difference Silvering Beauty has made for their appearance, with products for tone, shine, volume, and even brows. If you want to look as great as Silvering feels, visit silveringbeauty.com today.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, we are back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm here with Cynthia Loyce and Josie Dye. And I want to talk to Josie now about that famous interview with Oprah Winfrey. So Oprah, you interviewed her.
I did.
What was that? Okay, that's...
Oh my God.
That's, you don't understand. That is the highest, highest, highest item on my bucket list. I've interviewed thousands of people my whole life. She is my dream. All I've ever done is rub shoulders with her. I'm dying to interview her. What was that like?
She was amazing. She was really great. In fact, the way, so she had the Oprah Network, which was on Chorus, and I was at W Network at the time. So this is going back, oh my God, like 13 years ago. Wow. So I'm trying to like quickly remember everything that happened. I do remember that I talked to her about being a mentor. And she just, her and I really clicked. Like she was actually quite funny. We were, I remember at the end of that, walking out of that interview, laughing with her. So, and thinking, oh my, I was so nervous going in, but it's true what they say. You know, I almost feel like the bigger the star, the easier the interview.
Yes.
Right? Because so they know what they're doing. And it was lovely. Like I had absolutely nothing bad to say. It was amazing. She was great.
Wow. Did she have that light and that energy around her?
Oh my God, of course. Like you walk in and it's intimidating too, right? Because it's Oprah. But she made me feel at home. She actually had watched me on television that day because she was in a hotel and she was just watching Oprah Network and I was there with W on doing interstitials. So yeah, so she was great. She was commenting on my broadcast style. And yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that's so fun. Cynthia, is there someone that you've interviewed? And I know you've interviewed, and I listed them off the top, but somebody that just made your heart go pitter pat and just go like, wow, this is so
well,
fun.
I mean, there's the, I don't know if you've heard the story that you can find footage of it online, but for years I was a huge Game of Thrones fan and would watch Jason Momoa, who's also known as Aquaman, I guess, and Lisa Bonet's ex-husband. I had been saying all kinds of mildly inappropriate things on the show. And then we found out that he was coming on the show. And so one of the producers decided to assemble all of the clips of me saying things about how I wanted to like play a game on his throne and like do all these like... And they played it for him.
Oh my God.
And I died, but he was such a good sport about it. And I will tell you, that is a man. I'm not one of those people who generally sees a hot person and thinks like, oh my God, filthy thoughts. I need to know a little bit about their personality first before getting into somebody.
Yes.
But Jason Momoa is an exception to the rule. And I found that he had this impact on the entire crew. All of the women were swooning around him. Oh. He's like a refrigerator. Like he's so huge. And then all the men afterwards, there were camera guys who were going like, I get it.
Oh! I get it. Even the guys. Even the guys. And you know. Yeah. Oh my God.
There he is. That's the
that
guy.
Was your heart just beating? Was your heart beating when you were blushing?
Oh my God. And he was just like, yeah. And he gave me a big hug afterwards, a bear hug. Like I was just swooning and sort of like it, like dizzy. I felt like a teenager. It was just ridiculous.
Love it.
Yeah. I love that. So I have to tell you, I love Fridays on the social to see what you're wearing. And you always look gorgeous. And I love those carousel shots, like, you know, those you swipe
awkward
to the right
photos.
Shots where you get to wear all those beautiful clothes. What do you feel? Is it stressful because you've got to get the outfits every week? Or is it like a fun thing that you get to do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I've been all kinds of different weights throughout the 10 years that the social's been on the air. And so it can be challenging to try on clothes, to scrutinize your body, to feel like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Do I feel good in this? Because it matters. As you know, when you're a performer, when you show up, everything matters because your confidence is intertwined with both your brain and your knowledge and all that and the way that you feel in your body.
Yes.
So I think I take it a little bit less seriously and I try to just have fun. And even if it's something that I'm kind of like, I'm not sure, it's one day. Maybe I'll channel a different character. Maybe I feel like it's a bit extra, but I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is something I would never wear in my regular life. Why not wear it for a day? Who cares? So I think I've got a better attitude around it, certainly more recently.
Your stuff always looks the most, everyone's gorgeous on it, but I find your stuff is always, I don't know, maybe because we're both dark.
I think it's the best.
You're my favorite.
I think you're stunning, stunning, gorgeous. And so Josie, you got to experience that and to imagine like what Cynthia feels like because you got to be on the social many times. What was that like for you? The dressing, the excitement, the whole vibe of being on that show?
Every time I go on, I'm nervous, but I think that's me.
So great,
like
though.
I'm always like that. I'm always just like that person that needs that nervous energy to go on. It's a lot of fun. I feel like it's challenging in a different way than radio. You know, there's a lot of people telling you things at once. There's a little earpiece. Yeah. And I think the hardest part of actually being on the show is knowing when to jump in and when not to jump in. And I think like for the first two or three times I was on, I was just thinking about what I was saying. But then once you're confident on there a little bit, then you start actually being able to react to other people.
Wow.
I'm still not 100% there. I needed more time on the show. hint, hint, the social. It is so much fun to be on that.
She's fantastic on the show. And I will say that she also has been thrown into some of the most challenging situations. Huh. One of the first few times you were on the show, you were on with, which Baldwin brother was it?
Billy
Baldwin. Okay. Billy Baldwin is like a firecracker and you never know what's going to come out.
Yeah.
And then the last time she was on, with Bruce McCullough.
Yeah,
from Kids in the Hall.
I love him.
Oh, he's great.
Amazing.
He's amazing.
He's so funny, but it's still more challenging, right? Like she's the guest and then there's another guest.
Yeah.
And so it's even harder to know, like sort of when you, it's like skipping rope. What is that? You just,
you're just kind of throwing yourself in and out and in and out and like, okay, I'm going to say this.
Dance in the moment. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
But that's what I love the most, right? I love that. I love it. It's like, give me the hardest thing you can possibly give me. And I want to try to do it. So I love
that. So fun. I remember I once interviewed Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall. And it was actually on Rogers on a show I had called In the Spotlight, where I interviewed stars. And we had a giggle fit, but it was like on live television. We had a giggle fit and we couldn't stop laughing. I really got into a little bit of trouble actually, but it was just, you know, when you just cannot stop, like you're peeing.
Yeah, yeah.
And has that ever happened to you? Like on live television where you just have a giggle fit and you're like, oh my God.
Well, no, but it has happened on radio too.
Yes, for sure.
You? Oh my God. Yeah. It's definitely happened on the show a few times. I can't think of an exact, I know.
It happened on the show on the social when I was there with you like the other day. Oh my gosh. When he was like, I'm supposed to be in Brampton right now. Remember?
I couldn't
stop laughing. He said he was
an AI version of him who's doing a show somewhere else in Brampton.
And I was like dying laughing.
It was a lot.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So is there a book? Is there a Cynthia and Josie Unmentionable spicy book coming out?
Interesting you asked.
It should be.
Well, you know, it is an interesting thing you asked, Judy. It is one of the many things. Like, there's never, and I'm sure you're the same way, there's no shortage of ideas and passions that I could possibly pursue at any given point in time. And this is definitely something that we transcribe, have transcription service to put our shows out. We've done a lot of great interviews. So,
yes.
Are we slowly assembling something that could work into a book?
You are. Yes. I'm not.
She's the right.
You know, will it come out anytime in the next little while? We don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. Yeah. Stay tuned. Yes. Come follow us at Cynthia.
Will you come back and tell me all about the book?
Tell our audience all about the book.
That'll be so amazing. And I also want to say that I know that one of the first books you picked up when you went on your stress leave was a book called Burnout. And this is good for people who are going through this, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle by twin sisters, Emily and Amelia Nagoski. And you actually had one of the authors, Amelia, on Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables to chat about the book.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, what are some things that you learned from her that you could share with our audience?
Yeah. I mean, for that book was so instrumental for me to just understand my stress response cycle in the sense of, it seems pretty obvious that we were designed as humans to have certain things happen in our body. If we were to suddenly encounter like a tiger or like something very scary, that our cortisol levels raise, that we are ready to, you know, it's fight or flight syndrome. You're ready to you know, go away. But what I didn't know is how many times a regular people experience this every day when you're caught in like a terrifying moment in traffic or when your child does something that scares the heck out of you, which happens on the regular, that this nervous system issue, when we turn on our phones and we see something devastating, all of our nervous systems are being impacted. And then I also do a live daily show, which for somebody who doesn't lean towards like being filled up by those experiences, it stresses me out. I still get nervous to this day. So what it was is like, how do you complete that stress response system? And I kept pushing myself. And I think a lot of people who are experiencing burnout, they are burning out and they still have to keep going. People in healthcare, people who are teachers, people who cannot take a break in life, single moms, all these things. So her advice is to complete that stress response cycle. And what does that mean? You do need to take even 5 to 10 minutes and do breath work. I know this is something that appeals to you. That's one option.
Huge.
You go for a walk around the block. That doesn't mean that you're on your phone. That doesn't mean you're listening, that you are trying to be as fully present as possible.
Yes.
You do a bunch of jumping jacks in a row. You cry your eyes out for 5 minutes. You laugh your ass off for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
All these little things are ways in which we can sort of recenter ourselves, tell our nervous system that it's completed it, hug a friend. These are all little tiny things that you can do if you cannot take a big break, but you have to build in those breaks. So we're so good in our lifestyle about making sure that we get like our dentist appointments and our kids like soccer games and whatever. We have to schedule in those breaks or burnout will come for you.
So true. 4-7-8 breathing at a traffic light in a really long line at the grocery store, or 5-5-5, whatever works for you. Breathe in, hold, and breathe out. It's amazing. Like, I don't know if you guys felt at the beginning, we just did those three inhales and exhales, but it just like kind of simmers you down. So it doesn't have to be like a whole big meditation on a meditation cushion. Although those are great too.
Cold plunge has been transformative for me too. And that wasn't in that book, but it's just, people need to know more about that. I would have eye rolled it before, but it has changed me.
Absolutely. And goes a lot. Also, sometimes we need some mind numbing activities, right? Like, and I'm not suggesting like ones that are harmful, but just mind numbing activities. For me, it's The Bachelor. I am like in love with Joey. I don't know what it is. Is it just me? Are you guys are you watching this?
No.
Do you know about this?
No. No,
we're both not Bachelor people. I don't have any reality TV show things.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Why don't we do that?
I have books. Oh, I have a stack of books beside me.
I'm so scary.
A stack of books beside me, and I do try to dip in. I get so little time, I think, us to ourselves that I do want to film. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think you got to do...
I watch stupid movies sometimes. Like sometimes to mind numb myself, I'll put on like a Hallmark movie actually not enjoy it. And I'll be like, why am I watching this? But it's mind numbing. But the same. I absolutely love to read, but I also can read mind numbing books. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need to read, biographies, which like
reading
also
is reading.
Quiet. And then I've been reading to my kids and that's been really nice lately.
Nice.
Diary of the Wimpy Kid. I just keep, it's really cute.
I love that.
And we both love to walk.
Yeah.
Like we are walkers. Like after this podcast, we haven't discussed it.
Yes, we need
probably
to walk. We need to walk.
Yeah.
Oh, so we walk. And it's the most beautiful day today. Oh my God.
It's a really great way to catch up with your friends instead of always being like, drinks Friday night, drinks Saturday night. Let's go out Tuesday night to this event. It's like, let's go and walk for an hour together and catch up. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. You're making me want to go outside on a walk today too. It really is the best. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back after this. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm having the most delightful conversation with Cynthia Loist and Josie Dye, talking all about their new podcast, Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables, and more. And I just wanted to say another thing I've noticed about both of you is that you're both very outward focused. I wanted to say you do a lot of giving back. And so Josie, well, both of you are both very involved in philanthropic endeavors and community support initiatives. And you do this not only by encouraging people to speak openly and honestly about taboo, but also in your educational and charitable work. Josie, your son Cole, who you've mentioned, has the rare genetic disorder Sotos syndrome. There are currently 300 million people living with this disease, this rare disease worldwide. And by sharing your family's story, which is so brave, you've helped so many people by just normalizing it all. Can you tell us more about your beautiful son and what you're doing to raise awareness about Sotos syndrome?
Sure. I mean, and I think giving back really, I feel great. And I know this is almost selfish, but I feel great when I give back, but I also love to help other people. But when it comes to Cole, obviously that's really close to my heart, as Cole is my little pumpkin. Yeah, he was born with a rare disease called Sotos syndrome. It's very rare. And we don't really know how it's going to manifest. So he's doing wonderful right now. A couple of months ago, he wasn't as good. He wasn't sleeping. He was, he was up all night, scared to close his eyes. Now we've found the right medication for him, and he's doing, he's kind of back on track, which is wonderful. But it's rare disease day just happened. That happens February 28th. And it's just wonderful to bring awareness to the fact that you know, 1 in 12 people suffer from a rare disease. So it's not really that rare. And it's not just about Sotos syndrome. There are so many rare diseases out there. And it's not even if you have it. I mean, it's like parents, it's relatives. It really does affect your entire family. So I've been pretty active trying to talk about Rare Disease Day, trying to talk about how many people in this world are suffering in our wonderful Canadian healthcare system and how we can fix it. So yeah.
That's amazing, the work that you're doing. You also host a podcast, Josie, called Love and Special Needs, where you lend your voice to raising awareness about raising children with special needs. Just tell us briefly about this wonderful podcast.
Yeah, I did. I don't do that anymore. And there's a good reason that I don't do it anymore. I think my cold is older now. And so obviously I have to ask for permission before I put anything out there in the universe. And I talked a lot when he was little about some of the different, you know, issues that we had. And it's interesting because when you are sick, I think some of the symptoms are very universal. So whether it's you're going through reflux with your child or anxiety, or like, I think this is something that a lot of people go through. So I did this podcast and I really shared it to the other people who are had children with rare diseases. And I thought it was really helpful to have a voice out there so that people were able to talk, and people have still messaged me because they still find it, which is great. It lives there forever. And there's 12 episodes. It was like a little mini series. And it's really about raising a child and all this, you know, from living in the hospital with your child to going through severe reflux, swallowing issues, to anxiety, to starting a actual, you know, school in your basement, which is how I met Cynthia. So
great. Your pod, which is so great for everyone. I love that. You know, we're part of a community. My daughter, Lily, is a singer and an actor living in New York. Beautiful, talented, crazy singer and gorgeous. And we're part of something called Jake's Jam. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Ellen Schwartz had a beautiful son, Jacob Schwartz, who passed away at the age of 21 of Canavan's disease. And anyway, we always did this thing where we would go sing there every Sunday at their house. Mm-hmm. Different talented young artists would show up and come sing. And when the pandemic started, Ellen started this amazing online Jake's Jam 4 years ago on Zoom, where special needs families and some of these talented young artists would come and sing. And we do it on Sundays. And it's a really cool thing. So I was going to ask you, do you sing?
I do sing. I don't very much anymore, but I do sing.
You got to come on the jam one Sunday.
I would
love that.
It's
now once a month. You got to come on the jam. Cynthia, do you sing?
No. No, but I will definitely come and like cheer her on.
Too.
I've watched you. Whatever. I don't sing. I sing on whenever I play rock band. That's it. I will not sing publicly, but I will support singers.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. And Cynthia, I know in 2018 you worked as a national ambassador to the Sinai Health Foundation. You're also giving back always to schools as an educator. You do quite a bit of guest lecturing on technology, sexuality, and media. You've done it for University of Toronto, Sheridan, Toronto Metropolitan University, Centennial College. What do you love about these speaking engagements and lecturing, guest lecturing at colleges and universities to young people? Because you're a great role model for so many people.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I love connecting. I love finding out what young people are also curious about. I think that, you know, we just did actually something on the social on Friday about how people who are under 30 are less happy than they've ever been. And I was like, I'm struck by that. And so I am more interested in the ways in which this ultra connected generation is feeling a little bit more disconnected, I think, from each other. So that's an area that I want to explore. I also, just as throwing this out there, because we're talking about charity work too, I have a Cameo channel. And so that money that I generate from there goes to charity. And I think it's Black Health Alliance right now, but I switch it up all the time. So anybody who wants a birthday shout out, anything like that, one of those two as well. Anyway, but yeah, I think that you have to give back in the world. But I also think right now it's been interesting, and this is maybe a non sequitur, but people really try to, let me just say this more directly. I think all of us feel overwhelmed about the state of the world right now.
Yes.
It feels like it's on fire in so many different areas, and it's easy to feel like there's nothing you can do. And the thing is that you don't have to do all of the things. No one expects everyone to do all the things, but
choose
you have
one.
To do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Choose one or two things. And also, you don't need to broadcast what you're doing.
No.
Just because it doesn't show up on social media doesn't mean it isn't there and people aren't doing
stuff.
Right. So
I'm going to start on April 1st. I'm going to start a kindness club where it's something very small, where every single day I'm asking like as many people as possible to join me into doing one kind thing. And it doesn't have to be charitable, but it just has to be to somehow spread happiness.
I love that.
Right? Like, that's just somehow beautiful. Find a way to spread happiness throughout your day. Just one a day, one thing a day. And I want to do it for 30 days, something very small, just to see how it feels. Like, and that's the thing is, it's like, how does it feel for you? How does it feel for other people? Right? That's all what it's about.
We know. We know.
Wars are started because people are just sad. So, like, mm-hmm. let's just find ways to make ourselves happier.
Good for you. That's so brilliant. Well, we know that when we're, and this is related to bliss, when we're kind, we feel good. When we're kind to someone, they feel good. But they say that the third party onlooker feels so good just observing and witnessing the kindness. Like, it's a win-win for everybody, even people who are not involved in it. So that is so awesome.
Yeah.
You've both been married since 2010. And I want to ask you both, what is the secret?
Are we married to each other?
No. I got married in 2009.
I got married? How much we're learning about each other.
We're learning so much about ourselves, right? I wanted to, but I think that's so cool that you have that symmetry as well. What the secret is to your wedded bliss. And let's start with you, Josie. I didn't realize you're married to Joel Carrière, the founder of Dine Alone Records. Am I saying that right? Carrière?
I love it. He sounds like he's way cooler than he is.
And he represents people like City in Color, the Lumineers, Alexis on Fire, with alumni like the Arkells and so much more. I was going to ask if you sing, and now I know that you do, which is so, like, I'm going to ask you something. Do you want to sing at the end of this show via MP3 track?
No.
We'll talk.
I always trust us to be honest. No, I always trust us to be honest.
But I love that you asked. That's amazing.
What is a great secret to your happy wedded bliss?
I'm not answering this. Go on, Cynthia.
I mean, well,
she's got a better. No, that's
Jason.
Not true.
Jason.
We both. Jason. Jason. I mean, I think that for me, the key to being in a relationship for we've been together for 24 years. We started dating in 2000. It has been to allow each other space and allow each other to be who we are. And I think, you know, I don't understand, and I think this does work for some couples where they're very much, they do everything together. We have kind of the opposite. We pick the times where we get together. And in that way, he's always remained a little bit of a mystery to me. Nice. I'm always discovering new things about him. And that has been a key to keep us together for the long haul.
Yeah.
Love that.
Joel's my best friend. Right? Nice. Like, really, we have a lot of work to do. I'm going to be honest. Like, it's like, don't come to me for relationship advice, anyone, you know, because we're both so busy. We are so busy.
Yes.
But I think when it comes down to it, I mean, like, we both have the same morals. We both are the same type of people. We're good people. We're kind people.
Yes.
And I will never look at him and think like, oh God, why did I marry him? I'm never going to do that. And I think that's, but yet, you know, we argue all the time. And I think if I didn't say that, I would be a hypocrite sitting here, because I think that also this happens to everybody, right? Like, I think there's a lot of people that have to really work on their relationship. I need to work on my relationship. It's not a priority. It should be. So
No, we all do. We all do. And they're all good, but they need to be watered like plants and tended to, right? It's absolutely so true. Do you guys have I know you mostly just talk, but sometimes you have guests on Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables. Do you have a dream guest that you would love to have on?
Right now we do.
Who's our
Remember the one that you were just saying that we should have on? Like, it's not a dream, but it's somebody that we're working on.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. We have a few Canadian icons that I feel like we would love to put this out into the universe, because I know you believe in this too.
Yes.
One is Alanis Morissette. I was listening to her recently. She doesn't do a ton of interviews, it feels like, anymore, but I feel like she's like kind of my secret soul sister on some level. She's been through a lot of, I don't know, just self-work and analysis. And I think she's also somebody who's an introvert in a public realm, which there's not a lot of us. Who, you know, really shouldn't be in the public eye, but managed to be in the public eye.
Yes.
And I want to talk to her about that. Also, Katie Lang just recently started following us, and
we're
such huge fans.
Oh, she's awesome.
So I feel like I would love, she's a Buddhist. She's just like such an elegant and accomplished individual. I would love to pick her brain. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Do you have a take-home tip that you want people to take away from listening to your podcast, Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables? Something that you just want people to know. And of course, you can get your podcast everywhere that podcasts are available. What's a take-home tip why people should listen and what they're going to get out of it?
Oh, why people should listen.
That might be a bit different.
Well, no, what's your take-home tip?
I was just thinking that we've talked about this after like International Women's Day, and we've been speaking about this a lot with, you know, propping women up. And I think that both Cynthia and I prop each other up, and we've done a really good job of it, of championing each other and not being judgmental of each other. It's really hard when you're working on an actual, like, this is, even though this is so much fun, it's work and it's part of our career. Like, people are mentioning our podcast when they mention Cynthia on The Social and Josie on Chum. And it's really easy to pick apart your co-host. Mm-hmm. And we don't do that with each other. Mm-hmm. And we've been really great at seeing, I see how valuable Cynthia is to me and all of the skills that she has that I don't have. And I think the same, she sees all the skills I have that she doesn't have. Yes. And I think that there is something about that listening to us. It's enjoyable because you know that we care about each other, but also like if other people could take that and put that in their lives and find that woman that you usually would say would, oh, look at her and use her. And I don't mean I'm using you, use her in a way that the two of you benefit. Yes. And champion each other. I think that's
like
would be
a rising
great.
Tide floats all boats. And instead of seeing people as a threat, see them as like your ally. And I think we need to start fostering more of that with women and, you know, more of that
so
idea.
True.
Like there's not a scarcity mindset. There's more of like there's an abundance mindset, and we can all, you know, help each other out. And I do think, I don't know if this answers any of the question, but like one of the things I've been reflecting a lot about is if you, and this is maybe a very obvious, but if you don't take time to care for yourself and love yourself and appreciate yourself in all of our messy, uncomfortable humanity, you can't extend that to someone else.
That's
so
right.
You do really need to start with yourself before. And I mean, anytime now I'm seeing somebody being a jerk to somebody else and negative online and whatever, I'm like, oh, you hate yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Obvious to me. You
so
hate
true.
Yourself.
So
you
true.
Poor thing. Yeah. So people really need to look inwards first and start giving, then that extends outwards.
You're showing people friendship and love in action. It's so great what you're doing. The reason I asked you, because I follow you, of course, Cynthia, I just saw your energy on camera together and I went, oh my God, totally would love to have them on the show. They're fabulous. Like, oh my God, it's a no-brainer. At the end of every show, we ask our guests one question. And of course, I'm going to ask you both. And I'm going to start with you, Cynthia. What is bliss these days for Cynthia Loist?
Oh my, well, everyone knows I am obsessed with hot sauna and cold plunge, that combination. I just, there's something about being in a hot sauna that makes me feel like I'm back in the womb. Not that I remember that on any like literal level. And it helps me think, it helps me breathe, it helps me focus on, it cuts out the noise that is often in my head. Someone described me as having way too many tabs open in my head, which is exactly true. So it quiets that noise down and allows me to breathe. And then the cold plunge allows me to go through that fight or flight syndrome and I survive. I survive for 2 minutes straight. And then I go back into this womb. And that kind of combination has just been extraordinarily blissful and healing.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. And what is bliss for Josie Dye?
I think bliss for me is finding people in my life that I can be with that make me laugh. I love to laugh and laughing. And I didn't realize laughing was therapeutic until Cynthia just told me that minutes ago. But now that I think about it, I have recently surrounded myself with people that make me laugh. My husband makes me laugh. Cynthia makes me laugh. My sister and my mom, they make me laugh. And I want to just stay with people who make me laugh all the time because that's bliss for me.
That's the best. That is. I so agree. What is the best way for people to tune in to your podcast, Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables, and contact with you both on social media?
We have a website, cynthiaandjosie.com. You can find us on all social media platforms at Cynthia and Josie. The podcast, if you search for it, it is Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables. So you have to put that all in. Although I think if you do Unmentionables, you'll probably find us, but that's the best way to find us.
Yeah, we're on iHeart and Apple and Spotify and all the places that you can get podcasts.
And we have a YouTube channel as well.
Yes, so it's a bit more R-rated, which maybe by saying that more people will go to it.
True.
I don't know. And we're working on Facebook. So.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, I want to thank you both so much, Cynthia and Josie, for being on the show today. It was so delightful to have you here. And guys, you got to see their set, this gorgeous pink set and Cynthia's pink little hat. And you guys just look so great here. Your energy is just so fantastic together. It's really been blissful. to be part
thank
of
you. You.
You're
thank
lovely.
You so much.
So lovely.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I would like to thank our wonderful guests, Cynthia Loist and Josie Dye, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Olivia Weatherall, audio engineer Juliana Yannuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsors, the Create Fertility Center and Silvering Beauty. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.